I want to welcome everybody to D.C. and the Realtor Party Mid-Year Meetings. I'd like to thank everybody for coming today. Great crowd. Appreciate you coming out and spending some time with us as we talk about issues that are related to the Real Property Evaluation Forum topics today. My name is Vic Knight, and I'm the 2014 chair of the forum. And sitting right down in front is Ms. Connie Kyle, who is the vice chair. Wave your hand, Connie, who will be next year's chair for this forum. The purpose of the forum today is to help both NAR members in terms of the brokerage community and the realtor appraisers to better understand and stay on top of the various trends and challenges that we face in our industry related to the valuation issues. Today we're going to discuss several important matters relating to education. Education, in my world, is trying to keep our customers and clients, our buyers and sellers, informed on a variety of these issues. And we're going to try and cover three topics specifically. The first topic would be appraisal independence and address those concerns, some geographic competency issues related to appraisers and the frustrations that are continued to be involved there. And the last would be the appraisal appeal process. We have a great panel today. We're going to do something a little bit unique and different. We haven't done this for a number of years. We're going to be doing a combination of answering some questions and some skit/role-playing by some of our panelists and a few others to help this process out. And once we get into this, Heidi, would you mind waving your hand in the back? Heidi has available with her are some cards. And if you have a question, if you wouldn't mind jotting down your name and the question, make sure it's nice and legible for everybody. You might want to put an email address or a phone number or something, because if we aren't able to get each of your questions answered, Heidi and Sarah and a few others are going to try and make sure that they get some feedback back to everybody if we don't get some of the questions answered. So if you do have some questions as we come along, Heidi will be around the room all afternoon. So remember that. Second item, Heidi mentioned just a few minutes ago about the agenda. If you need an agenda, there's still some in the back of the room. And also, some of you may or may not be aware, we just produced this particular little brochure. It's entitled the Residential Appraisal Process FAQs for Agents. It came out of a number of questions that the staff has fielded probably for at least a couple of years or longer. We've had quite a bit of discussion to come up with some really good answers to some broad questions. You can download this particular brochure off of the NAR website at realtor.org. And it's pretty easy to find at all, and it'll print up and stuff for you. There are some copies in the back if you'd like some others. As I said, you can download those. Let me introduce our panel for you today, starting with Maggie Hambleton. Maggie is president of Hambleton Incorporated, a real estate appraisal firm in Columbus, Ohio. She's been in practice for over 40 years, specializing in the valuation of residential properties. Maggie currently serves as a member of the Appraisal Foundation's Standards Board, and Maggie is a certified USPAP instructor, and she has been involved in appraisal education for about 25 years, maybe a little longer. Maggie, this way, please. Ryan Sedgwick. Ryan joined CoreLogic in 2005, is currently the Director of Vendor Relations for Asset Management and Processing Solutions. Ryan manages about 20,000 vendor panelists nationwide, is recognized as a thought leader and expert in vendor relations. Ryan, thank you. Lynn Madison. Lynn has been involved in real estate education for more than 20 years, from writing and delivering courses to state legislative task forces to committee work to local, state, and national level issues. Her company is devoted to the advancement of real estate professionalism. Lynn? Ryan Servatus. Ryan's been a realtor for about 13 years. He's an associate broker at his firm and is the current chairman of the Southwest Michigan Association of Realtors Education Committee and a member of the Public Relations Committee. He's a past chairman of the South Haven Township Planning Committee and currently helps run the Realtor Chat Facebook page for his board. Ryan, thank you. Penny Reed. Penny is the Vice President of Industry Outreach for Business Capabilities Development at Wells Fargo Home Mortgage, a 30-year veteran of the mortgage industry. Penny has been with Wells Fargo for about 24 years in a variety of positions, including underwriting, risk management, capital markets, agency relations, and strategic partner management. Penny? Thank you. And last but not least, Frank Gregoire. Frank's a good friend of many of us appraisers from around the country. Frank's been licensed since 1976. Frank is a second-generation realtor, broker, and appraiser. In addition to his real estate broker license, he's a state-certified residential appraiser and appraisal instructor. As a member of the board of directors for the Florida Realtors and the National Association of Realtors, Frank's been involved in the Appraisal and Public Relations Committee since 1992. Frank will moderate our discussion today, and Frank has recently been appointed to the Appraisal Subcommittee's Advisory Committee, and it's got another long name to it, and I'm not going to try that. Frank, thanks for being with
Thank
us.
Thank you.
To kick off our session, our panelists have graciously offered to participate in a few skits to illustrate some of the real-world scenarios that real estate agents and appraisers are facing today and that they find themselves in from time to time during a variety of real estate transactions. The panelists will comment on their themes raised in the skits, and Frank will moderate the discussion and take the questions from the audience. At this point, I've mentioned to you that Heidi may have some cards for you to ask questions as time comes along. Pick one of those up. And then at some time, Frank will kind of close this up, and Connie will come up and make a few closing remarks. Has anybody got any questions? Are you ready to go? You folks ready to go?
Mm-hmm.
One, two, three. Go. Frank, it's all yours.
You want us to just go?
Yeah. I don't need to tell these folks what to do. You just go right ahead.
Okay.
All righty.
All right, I'll play the buyer agent, and Lynn, you can play the...
I'm the listing agent.
Okay. Lynn, I believe the appraiser will be contacting you in the next day or so to set up an appraisal. Is there anything I can do to assist you?
Why is he calling me? Why doesn't he just call the seller? I told the seller that he was going to call. And what do you mean, assist me?
Aren't you going to meet the appraiser at the listing?
What are you talking about? I know you're new in the business, but we can't do that. I mean, that HVCC and Dodd-Frankie thing, whatever that is. It says we can't get involved in the appraisers. We're not supposed to be meeting them. We're not supposed to be influencing them and manipulating them. It's illegal. What are you talking about?
I was not suggesting that there would be any coercion or manipulation at all. Lynn, simply I'm just a packet of information that would have the appraiser with comps, copy of the survey, HOA information, floor plans, if the seller has them, you know, a complete list of upgrades and any information, you know, comps that would be appropriate.
Really? Seriously? You think I have time for that? Isn't that the appraiser's job to do that? I don't know why. I'm just shocked. I've never heard of such a thing.
With all due respect again, Lynn, can I send you some information from the National Association of Realtors and the Appraisal Foundation that outlines what the rules are?
Kiddo, you can send me whatever you want, but the bottom line is I don't have time for this, number one, and number two, I really don't think that's our job.
Well, Lynn, again, with all due respect, it's our responsibility to do everything that we can to assist our clients in their property closing. My buyer wants the home, and if it doesn't appraise out, it's much of a problem for your seller as is my buyer. We really should be doing everything we can to get them what they want and to closing. As I said earlier, if there's anything I can do to assist, please let me know, and I'd be happy to pull the comps together for you. And really, don't have to all the information to help the appraiser get what he needs to do a proper evaluation.
I don't disagree that we want this transaction to close, but I'm not going to lose my license by doing something that I'm not supposed to be doing, and that's meeting the appraiser and trying to influence it. You can send me whatever you want.
I will send it over. You called me kiddo.
Great. Before I get started, let me just warn you that I have a propensity, and I don't try and do it most of the time, but I do have a propensity for offending groups because of some offhanded comment I make. So I just want to let you know, if I do that, I'm apologizing in advance. I don't mean it. But let me ask you this, because I don't have any questions from the floor yet. Which one of you should be meeting the appraiser, or should either one of you meet the appraiser? Should it be the agent on the listing side of the transaction or the selling side of the transaction?
I'll start with that. No matter what you heard me say here a couple of moments ago, I believe it was my responsibility to meet the appraiser. It was my responsibility to be there with appraiser's package that has comps and all of that in there. I was playing the role, as you probably could tell, of what a lot of our realtors think, which is they are not supposed to meet the appraiser. And so I believe it should be the listing agent who does it. What do the appraisers think?
Well, I would love it if someone would meet me at the site with data. I do my homework, but you know, in this world, we have a lot of information that comes to us. We have a lot we can't get. We're about three steps behind all of you in knowing what's going on in the market. So I might miss a very valuable piece of information. And since we're all, you know, looking to get the best value we can on the property, one that's supportable and defensible, you know, I love it when a realtor meets me, when I can talk to the seller themselves, if I can't talk to the agent, because the information about what they've done to the property, why they purchased it in the first place, the motivation of selling, all of that helps us do a better job to get the deal done.
Okay. Let me ask you this, and this is for people on the agent side of the transaction. I don't tend to refer to people as realtors and appraisers because I'm a realtor and I earn my living as an appraiser. But let me ask you this from those of you working on the agent side of the transaction. Do you ever try and maintain control of access to the property to ensure that you have some face time with the appraiser?
You want to do it or you want?
Well, if the schedule allows it, I always offer to meet them there and offer anything like a survey or anything that's updated that they might not have. If it doesn't work out, then I always email it to them. Anything I do to help out. But again, it just depends on your schedule.
The reason I ask is I have a very good friend who is a realtor appraiser over in Tampa, Florida. She talks and is very active with the Greater Tampa Association of Realtors. And whenever she talks to folks, she encourages agents to, when the property goes under contract and they know that there's going to be an appraiser that's visiting the property, she encourages them to take the lockbox off. And that way they're able to maintain control over access to the property and ensure face time, ensure the opportunity to provide the appraiser with some information, not only about the subject property, but comparable sales. Is that something that y'all would do, or do you see something wrong, illegal, unethical, improper about such an arrangement?
The only reason I'm sitting here smiling is that I say the same thing, and it was so glad to hear that that came from an appraiser before it came out of out of the agent side of it. Taking the key box off, I mean, because the appraisers have access through the key boxes in many of the areas, if not all. And that way, at least you have at least they have to call you to contact you. They can't go in. If that doesn't make you happy, what I usually tell the agents is, then tell your seller that either you have to say there has to be an appointment with the seller. And when they call the seller, then the seller says, call my agent. I mean, one way or the other, we got to try to have some face time with the appraiser.
Okay. We're talking about providing information to the appraiser, information that is going to assist them in writing up their appraisal report and doing their analysis. And this actually, I guess, is directed to any appraisers that we have on the panel, but is it required to share a home inspection report with, oh, actually with the lender's underwriter, it says. Or would it be important to provide that home inspection report to the appraiser?
We very seldom get it, at least in my market. Would it be helpful? You bet. I think it would avoid the fact that we're going on assumptions that same way that the buyer and the seller are looking at the property. We don't look for hidden defects. We look for defects we can see, what we've heard about, what we can smell. And if we find out something that's going to change our opinion of value, it's better to know that going in than going through the process of coming up with our a defined value and coming to a conclusion, not only to have to rethink because we find something that we couldn't have known about came about. So that could influence the conclusion. So but any data that we have, we're going to take a look at. And I probably should preface this all with the fact that we still do our own work, and it behooves us, we have to re-verify information so that we are not being coerced, and so it is appraiser independence. So I think the working with instead of working at each other solves the whole issue.
Penny, did you have something you wanted to add to that?
From a lender's perspective, one, if it's an FHA or VA, generally, yes, we have to have the home inspection. The biggest reason, though, is if it's referenced in the contract, if the contract is subject to the home inspection being satisfactory, if it's referenced that you're getting a home inspection and the seller will perform repairs cited, we're going to want and require as part of the transaction to get that home inspection. Okay. If it's not in the contract, probably not.
But let me give you another point of view on this. I hear from a lot of real estate agents, and usually when I hear from real estate agents, it isn't because they want to tell me how great some appraiser is. They usually are calling with some problem, or they want to see, you know, what I suggest as a solution to a problem. But you tell me this, if for those of you that are in the brokerage business, probably one of the most aggravating things is when you know that an appraisal has been submitted, you know that the appraisal has been completed, and you're trying to schedule a closing for a transaction. In fact, you may already have a closing scheduled, and you hear through the grapevine, whether it's from the lender, appraisal management company, or the buyer, that for some reason they had to go back to the appraiser for some additional information or clarification. Does that tend to like make your day, or does it tend to ruin your day? I think it tends to ruin your day. And I think one way to help ensure that doesn't happen, as you mentioned, appraisers make certain assumptions about the quality and the condition. Other than an obvious thing, you assume that the there is a the solid surface, subsurface, that the improvement is sound unless there's anything that is obvious. And very often, if the lender gets word that there is some structural problem, they'll go back to the appraiser and say, does this have an effect on value, or please address this condition in your appraisal report. And if they asked me to do it, it would take me another, I don't know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks or so to get around to working that in. Other appraisers might work faster, but it's going to delay what you want to get accomplished, and that is the closing of the transaction. So making all that information available to the appraiser will at least allow them to consider it in their developing their opinion of value, and it will help avoid and help alleviate the chance that you're going to have some unknown wrench thrown into the works to gum up your closing. Do you disagree with that?
No.
Okay.
I agree with you.
The other thing I think that is interesting about providing information to the appraiser. I'm one of the luckiest appraisers in the world because I don't do any of these newfangled uniform appraisal data set reports. But appraisers are required to not only code all the things related to condition and view and quality, but they're also required to report the date and the extent of upgrades and additions and alterations to the property. I think that, you know, for appraisers that are doing UAD type reports, it is absolutely essential. If there's been a bathroom remodel or a kitchen remodel, that the appraiser be made aware of the extent and the specific date of that particular remodel. Is that something that is important? What about the lenders? Do you worry about appraisals being kicked out of the Fannie Mae system because they don't have the correct UAD coding?
That's typically something that happens after the fact, so
it would ruin your day then.
It becomes a repurchase demand, which does not ever make us happy.
Okay. All right. Okay. As a listing agent, if you do meet the appraiser and have a package prepared, but the appraiser said not interested, how do you handle that? And what are your options other than to murder the appraiser?
That was going to be my comment, yeah. I mean, and we've all run into that, where you meet them with comps, and one of the agents the other day said the seller came home and found what the agent had given the appraiser crumpled up in a ball thrown in a closet. So my comment was, let's get the pronoun straight, she needs to be reported, because that is not appropriate behavior on the part of the appraiser. But I want to ask the appraisers, where are you coming from with that when an appraiser does that? What do you guys think we should do?
You're the panelist. Well, I would tend to offend someone when
I probably will too, because just like uninformed agents, there are uninformed appraisers.
Yeah.
And we have some appraisers out there that can look at USPAP, and since I'm on the appraisal standards board, it's important I get that in. And so if you're looking at USPAP and it talks about confidentiality and appraiser independence, and some of them take it just the words and not the meanings behind it. So in that instance, you have a recourse of calling the lender and telling the lender what happened, and that you're afraid that you're not going to get a fair and unbiased appraisal, and that you would rather that they would reassign it at that point. That's one option to you. A lot of people take the wait and see attitude. And if it works, we're not going to say anything. But if it doesn't work, you're going to be picking up the phone. So this is another instance where you should be a little more proactive. I'm not excusing that appraiser, man or woman. because that's just not smart on the appraiser's part. Why not take the information, whether you'll end up using it or not? It might actually make our job a little easier had we taken it. So it's going to be an educational process, and you're the first step. You're the first step, because we make the contact to you all. So hang in there and do it, because it really does help.
Yeah. Ryan.
I'd also like to add in, a lot of agents need to have the foresight to put this into the MLS, especially under attached documents, when they do the listing. You know, if anything, put all the updates they've done so the people know going in to make the offer have it. You know, it's better to get it out there in front than try and chase it at the end.
Good point.
A lot of it, surveys, floor plans, update sheets, put those in. Those help everybody out.
Mm-hmm. Good. And I'll add this, and I mean, it's great that we have a member of the Appraisal Standards Board here. The Appraisal Standards Board, for those of you who aren't aware, are the ones that actually write and interpret the Uniform Standards of Professional Appraisal Practice. And in Standard 1, isn't there some obscure phrase which says that the appraiser is responsible for gathering all the information necessary in order to develop, I don't know the exact words.
A credible opinion of value.
But they got to they don't get to pick and choose information. They have to gather all of the information. And if somebody voluntarily provides them information about the subject property or about the market or about potential comparable sales and listings, which may be relevant, might an appraiser, some state regulatory agency believe that the appraiser didn't conform to Standard 1?
Wow. I also served on a state disciplinary board. And from that standpoint, the appraiser should gather sufficient information. And so if the appraiser feels they have sufficient information, that would be a pretty difficult situation to prove one way or another. If you would look at it, though, from the pure, they might miss some very important information, I would agree.
All right.
One item to add real quick. I think it's important the way that we approach the appraiser, right? In sharing the information.
On bended knee.
he jokes, right, on bended knee. But the reality is to go and present information in a way that can be accepted. And if it's already documented within the MLS to say, hey, this is the stuff that you'll find as part of the listing within the local MLS, which they should be referencing anyway, I think that that gets you much farther than trying to shove it down their throat or say, here are the comps you should use, anything of that nature. That's where we cross that line into that appraiser independence gray area.
That is an interesting point. And again, I tend to talk to a lot of real estate agents about not what they how they can communicate with appraisers, but the manner in which they communicate. And you know, my observation is that the main mistake that real estate agents make in their attempts to communicate with an appraiser is they tend to communicate with them like they're a buyer or a seller. We're not. Mm-hmm. We are the one party in the transaction that is supposed to be objective and free of bias. And we deal with facts. We really don't care how nice the people are. That doesn't mean anything to us. And I don't care about their kids or their pets or where they're moving or how lovely their children are. But if you can give facts about the transaction, that's what's important. So communicate less on an emotional basis, more on a factual basis. I got one more question before we're going to have you do your next skit. And this is kind of funny. I think every one of you can identify with this. There is an appraiser in my area. When their name comes up on an appraisal, you know, I can't really read what they said here. You know that it's not going to be nice. They will not look at data we provide and will not consider making changes to their appraisals. Looking at data and making changes, that's two separate questions. What can I do?
I would say one, whatever lenders are using the appraiser, you need to keep letting them know that it's happening. Because one of the things that the lenders need to do when they're managing their panels, whether it's through an AMC or whether they're doing it internally, is...
It doesn't matter. They all know.
You should be ashamed of yourself for writing these words down here.
If that appraiser's behavior is impacting the quality of the report, the lenders need to do something about it. If it's not, and it's just that they're grumpy and opinionated, that's a different story.
Yeah, a lot of us are jerks. It's just we thrive on that. Okay.
Wait, now that's not factual.
Take it from...
I'm not saying it's factual, I'm just saying that's what they're talking about.
Find a different lender.
Because even
don't mean to offend the lenders, but
even if the lender is using an AMC, which a lot of them do because they need to prove their side of the independence, but independence doesn't extend to not being able to say who is on or off the panel that is representing that lender, specifically who is off the panel. Because if there are issues, and sometimes the issues have nothing to do with the quality of the report. They have to do with an appraiser who showed up drunk. They have to do with, you know, it's different things like, sorry about, but there are other reasons to have appraisers removed from a panel, and the lenders do have that say.
Yeah. They do.
They do. Anybody else to add to that? I'm glad that
I
we have...
I can jump in. I work
please.
For an AMC. Boo, right? The reality is we get requests, probably not daily, but at least on a weekly basis from various lenders asking us to exclude a particular appraiser from their work moving forward. And by extension, we perform additional due diligence at that point in time to determine whether or not we'll keep the appraiser on our panel at all.
Right.
So there are ways to make this happen, and perhaps you're not speaking with the right people, I don't know, but I can tell you for a fact it does happen very regularly.
The other thing to make a distinction here is way back when, I think it was back in 2008 or 2009, NAR sponsored a valuation summit, and people started talking about good appraisals and bad appraisals. Appraisers look at appraisals, and we can make a determination whether it's good or bad, but it seems like real estate agents and people, particularly in the loan origination side, a good appraisal was one with which they could make a loan. A bad appraisal was one with which they could not. So there is a distinction. Some appraisals that don't meet your contract price, they're good appraisals. And if you have, if there's a history of that happening with one particular appraiser, start to look at the quality of the work and have another appraiser, have a well-respected appraiser that knows appraisal standards and appraisal review standards, have them complete a review and submit that review to the lender or to the appraisal management company. Have it looked at objectively with someone who doesn't have any emotional connection with the transaction and see if there are problems with that appraisal. And I think that an objective review written without bias, submitted to a lender or an AMC, will help that lender or that AMC make a decision about that appraiser. All right, I don't want to go over too far, even though I didn't get the high sign. I was watching my watch here, but it is time for the realtor players to do skit number two.
I'll play the appraiser this time.
He's the appraiser this time. That's true.
Hey, Lynn, I'm finally glad I caught up with you. I'm glad you're busy. I've been trying to get a hold of you. I called you a couple times, you know, left messages about 123 Elm Street in South Haven, Michigan. Do you have a minute to go over it with me?
Why? That deal closed, what, weeks ago. Why are you doing an appraisal on that property now?
Oh, I'm not. I'm doing an appraisal on another property in the area. It's over by, you know, Elm Street, and it's comparable for the property that you did. I just have a few questions, you know, of the information you had in MLS. Do you have just a few minutes?
I don't. I have a CMA to do. I got a buyer that's coming in. I got things I got to do, and I don't know. It's done. It's over. It's a comp. Why am I doing the appraiser? Why am I doing your job? This is a sold transaction. All the information's in the MLS.
I do know that you are busy again. But in order to do a thorough appraisal, I need to know some information about the comps that does not show up in the MLS. For example, can you tell me a little bit more about the property, such as a basement? Was it finished? You know, I didn't see any photos in MLS that showed the finished product or, you know, whether it was finished or bathroom plumbed. Could you help me out?
It was a finished basement. It had tile, it had paneling, it had window coverings. It was finished.
Was it a... You know,
I don't have time for this. I really don't. Thanks for calling. Have a good day, but I don't have time for this.
See?
Yeah, it's all my fault.
I like that. one of my best friends is a real estate agent in St. Petersburg, Florida. Actually, she's in. She works, but she lives in Clearwater. She works Southern Pinellas County, and she was my RPAC chair when I was local board president. And she took an association at that time was 75 years old, and for the first time ever, they met their RPAC goal. That back was, I know I don't look this old, but that was in 1992. But she calls me regularly, and this is the one thing that I think that she brings up more often than not, and that is, would you tell your friends to quit calling me? What are your obligations as a real estate agent to provide information to an appraiser after the sale has closed?
Do you want me to start with this one, too? I don't know if the word's obligation. I don't know if it's a legal obligation, but
it's
I think
it's an investment.
Yes, it's an investment and it's an obligation to the marketplace. Because the more that we as realtors can answer the appraiser's questions about our closed transactions like that, the better chance we have of getting the next house to possibly appraise out. How that basement was finished was important to the appraiser. And because it's going to make a difference as to whether or not the next house is going to appraise for more money than mine, depending on how the basement was finished. I think we as realtors do have a responsibility, if not an obligation, a responsibility to the marketplace, to every other seller, to answer the phone calls that the appraisers have. And I will tell you, as I travel around, this is a huge issue because I have agents just absolutely argue with me when I'm teaching that they, why should I do that? It's not my job, it's the appraiser's job to do that. So if we can do anything to educate our fellow realtors that this is something that we should be doing for the sake of the market, especially when we're in a market that is appreciating in value. Because it's hard sometimes to get that new value there without having some discussion with the appraisers. So hopefully we can get it done.
Anybody have anything to add here? Yes, sir, Ryan.
I would say as an agent, it's a lot of agents get blindsided. Well, this deal, this deal, this deal. Right. I need to step back and look at the big picture. You want your community to do better as a whole. Again, it also comes back to what are you putting in MLS? What descriptions are you putting by the photos? The more information you give, the better it's going to be when it comes there. So it's look at the big picture.
I want to say one other really quick thing. But part of the problem, I agree, but part of the problem is my job in the MLS as the listing agent is to put that property out there to the rest of you in the very best light possible. So when I say it needs a little TLC, it really means it's a gut rehab. No, I'm serious. So when I said it needed a little TLC, I got to make sure when the appraiser calls that I make him understand how much TLC that thing really needed. Because again, sometimes there's no pictures there. Do you know what I mean? To back some of that up. So remember, there's two different reasons why we use the
there
MLS.
And MLS is really designed to be a marketing tool.
Correct.
So answer those phone calls, establish the relationships, and then when you want to present data, factual data to the appraiser, they'll accept it because you help them out.
Right.
You have a relationship. It's an investment.
Maggie, did you have something you wanted to add to that?
I do, because this kind of plays into the whole give and take attitude. And when they did that skit, the hair on my neck stood up because I've lived that one. And the thing that we as appraisers try to do is catch you, number one, at a good time for you because we know you're busy. We try to have a script, if you will, of the questions we need to ask because we want conformity. The comp you help us confirm today may make your next deal.
Right.
And the fact is that we now, through the Dodd-Frankie, as you called it, the Dodd-Frank actor, says that we do have to take a look. And when they rate our reports, they make sure that we're using the same information from appraisal to appraisal. So if we use a comparable in one and we use it in another, the information should match. Well, who better to make it match than if we talk to the source?
Yes.
And it makes us better informed. It lets you tell us that, you know, this purchase price that said it sold for $200, there was a bidding war and the original list price was $180. Because we're thinking, we can't use that comp, there's $20,000 worth of water there. You see where I'm going? But if you tell me that there was a bidding war